Our next award I insist on giving myself. It should come under the heading of a pioneer award. But the ageless vitality of the man to whom it's been voted is so extraordinary none of us can think of him as a pioneer. He was, though, in spades. He was the man who wired his New York bosses that the best place to make pictures in the West was an unknown village near Los Angeles called Hollywood. It's incredible that a man of his youth should have made the first American moving pictures of stirring beauty. How many of you are old enough to remember Maria Rosa and Joan the Woman? They were landmarks. The award might have been voted to him on an entirely different basis. As Mr. Show Business himself, for 37 years, he has understood best how to amuse and thrill and entertain the American public. His achievements range from dramatizing the Ten Commandments to discovering the man who became Hopalong Cassidy. It's a beautiful thing never to have been a bore, and he has turned out thunderously entertaining pictures from The Squaw Man to Samson and Delilah. For 37 triumphant years, this Oscar goes to Cecil B. DeMille. As should be the case with a young, energetic producer, Mr. DeMille is out of town preparing a picture. I called him this morning and told him he had been voted an Oscar and who was to accept it. His first comment was, "Could the Academy vote Mrs. DeMille a pair of wings?" This is Mrs. DeMille.
Thank you very much. And I'm sure, I'm very sorry that Mr. DeMille is here, not here, and I know that he will be very sorry and very appreciative of the award.
Thank you, Mrs. DeMille. As no Thalberg Award was voted this year, I can now turn you back to Paul Douglas.
Cole Porter music is the only music in the world with a split personality. For proof, drop by any roadhouse dive on a Saturday night. The people are jammed together, dancing to a Porter tune, and they think he wrote it just for them. Then jump to the St. Regis roof, everybody's at arm's length, and pretty sure Cole wrote the song for them. Well, after 25 years of this, the feeling has spread that Cole Porter is a qualified musician. That's why he's here tonight to make the music awards. Mr. Cole Porter.
Thank you, Paul. The nominations for the best scoring of musical picture are Jolson Sings Again, a Sidney Buckman production, Columbia, Morris Stoloff and George Duning. Look for the Silver Lining, Warner Brothers, Ray Hindorf, and On the Town, Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, Roger Eden, and Lenny Hakes. May I have the envelope, please? The winners are Roger Eden and Lenny Hakes for On the Town.
Johnny Green, General Director of Music at Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, accepted the awards for Mr. Eden and Mr. Hayden. Mr. Porter.
The nominations for Best Score of a Dramatic or Comedy Picture are Beyond the Forest, Warner Brothers, by Max Steiner, Champion, Screenplays Corporation, United Artists, by Dmitry Tiomkin, and The Heiress, Paramount, by Aaron Copland. The envelope, please. The winner is Aaron Copland for The Heiress.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, another winner is coming up to this handsomely appointed stage. He has been nominated, Aaron Copland, for scores of Mice and Men in 1939, Our Town in 40, and The North Star in 1943.
Louis Lipstone, head of Paramount Music Department, accepted the award for Mr. Copland.
Now, Mr. Porter.
The nominations for the best song written for and or first used in a motion picture are Baby, It's Cold Outside from Neptune's Daughter, Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. Music and lyrics by Frank Lesser. It's a Great Feeling from It's a Great Feeling, Warner Brothers. Music by Jules Stein, lyrics by Sammy Kahn. Lavender Blue from So Dear to My Heart, Walt Disney Productions, RKO Radio. Music by Elliot Daniel, lyrics by Larry Morey. My Foolish Heart from My Foolish Heart, Sam Goldwyn Productions, RKO Radio. Music by Victor Young, lyrics by Ned Washington. And Through a Long and Sleepless Night from Come to the Stable, 20th Century Fox. Music by Alfred Newman, lyrics by Mack Gordon. The envelope, please, Mr. Holbrook. The winner is Frank Lesser for Baby It's Cold Outside.
Ladies and gentlemen, we in the booth have been arguing the merits of our respective songs that we voted for, but I think we're all very happy with this. So beautifully presented tonight. Frank Lesser has had previous nominations for Dolores in 1941. They're either too young or too old. I wish I didn't love you so. He's been in the film industry since 1937.
Thank you, Cole Porter, and congratulations, Frank Lesser. In 1942, President Roosevelt announced that the American planes which had just bombed Tokyo had taken off from Shangri-La. The fact that this allusion to a mythical country was instantly clear to people all over the world is a high tribute to its inventor, a man who is to present the writing awards tonight, an Academy Award winner, a distinguished novelist of international standing, Mr. James Hilton.
Thank you, Mr. Douglas. Yes, Shangri-La is indeed a wonderful place for everyone. But for writers, and especially motion picture writers, it has further charm. In Shangri-La, for instance, there are producers who read scripts, and directors who photograph whole scenes without touching a line. And there are actors who insist the play is the thing, and there are agents who insist on only 5%. However, as Mr. Douglas pointed out, it is a mythical country. So, on to the writing awards. Those nominated for the best motion picture story are Come to the Stable, 20th Century Fox. Story by Claire Booth Luce. It Happens Every Spring, 20th Century Fox. Story by Shirley W. Smith and Valentine Davis. Sands of Iwo Jima, Republic. Story by Harry Brown. The Stratton Story, Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, story by Douglas Morrow. And White Heat, Warner Brothers, story by Virginia Kellogg. Now the envelope, please. The winner, Douglas Morrow, for The Stratton Story.
Douglas Morrow wins the first of the important writing awards for The Stratton Story, a great Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer picture. This is Mr. Morrow's first nomination. He was formerly an actor, by the way. And he kind of got the idea for The Stratton Story while watching a softball game at the Veterans Hospital near Los Angeles. And he felt something should be done to encourage wheelchair patients.
Now, those nominated for the best screenplay are All the King's Men, a Robert Rossen production, Columbia. Screenplay by Robert Rossen. The Bicycle Thief, De Sica Production Company, Mayor Burstyn, Italian. Screenplay, Cesare Zavattini. Champion Screenplays Corporation, United Artists. Screenplay by Carl Foreman. The Fallen Idol, London Film Productions. Selznick Releasing Organization, British. Screenplay by Graham Greene. And A Letter to Three Wives, 20th Century Fox. Screenplay by Joseph L. Mankiewicz. May I have the envelope? The winner, Joseph L. Mankiewicz, for A Letter to Three Wives.
And now here comes Joe Mankiewicz, a very popular choice. You might be interested to know, ladies and gentlemen, that the difference between this and the previous award is that this is for the construction of a screenplay regardless of the original source of the story. It could have been a published novel or short story or anything else. This is only for the construction of the screenplay.
Now, those nominated for the best story and screenplay are Battleground, A Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, story and screenplay by Robert Pirod. Jolson Sings Again, a Sidney Buckman production, Columbia, story and screenplay by Sidney Buckman. Paisan, a Roberto Rossellini production. Mayor Burstyn, Italian, story and screenplay by Alfred Hayes, Federico Fellini, Sergio Amidei, Marcello Pagliaro, and Roberto Rossellini. Passport to Pimlico, J. Arthur Rank, Eagle Lion, British. Story and screenplay by T.E.B. Clark. And The Quiet One, film documents, Mayor Burstyn. Story and screenplay by Helen Levitt, Janice Loeb, and Sidney Meier. Now may we break the seal. Thank you. The winner, Robert Pirod for Battleground.
Ladies and gentlemen, this particular award is for the writer who developed his own story into the finished screenplay. Quite a task in itself. This is his first nomination. He himself is a veteran of the Battle of Bastogne.
Thank you, Mr. Hilton, and congratulations, Robert Pirod. As you may have guessed, it has been our aim here tonight to choose our presenters for their fitness for the honor. We also felt that if they were good to look at, that didn't hurt a bit. But to present the award for the best achievement in direction, the committee has chosen the best-looking director in town. Stanley Lupino's daughter must have been born wise in the ways of show business, if there's anything at all in heredity. She has lately added writing, directing, and producing to her busy and distinguished career as an actress. Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Ida Lupino.
If a genie ever gave me a wish, I think I'd know how I'd like to spend it.
I want my name to be in a list like this. Those nominated for the best achievement in directing are All the King's Men, Robert Rossen Production, Columbia, Robert Rossen. Battleground, Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, William A. Wellman. The Fallen Idol, London Film Production, Selznick Releasing Organization, British, Carol Reed. The Heiress, Paramount, William Wyler. And A Letter to Three Wives, 20th Century Fox, Joseph L. Mankiewicz. The envelope, please. The winner is Joseph L. Mankiewicz. For A Letter to Three Wives.
Although this is Mr. Mankiewicz's first nomination for direction, of course, he just got through coming off the stage accepting an award for the screenplay for A Letter to Three Wives.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Lupino. Mr. Lupino's name, incidentally, on the membership list of the Screen Directors Guild is Irving Lupino. That way we can keep the same informal tone to our meetings, and there's a building cost to be considered. Ladies and gentlemen, this is something for which nobody, in all honesty, can be prepared. I am not prepared. This is a great honor, and I am deeply appreciative. Thank you.
Thank you, Ida Lupino, and double congratulations to you, Joe Mankiewicz.